Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. It's Friday. It's feeling like a Friday here in the building. Got a bunch of people in the studio, which is the old Friday feel. It's nice to have everybody hanging out today. And we got a great show for you. A very, very good show. Second hour, Joe Heschmeyer will be here. And you know that's always good when Joe's around. And first hour.
Yeah, what about the first hour?
It's Rose Sweet is back. Check her out at rosesweet.com. All she does, she's a certified life coach. She does all kinds of work on divorce and annulments and remarriage, and a great guest here. And welcome back, Rose.
It's good to be here. It's a great way to start the new year.
Yeah, it is. It's nice to see you for the new year.
Yeah,
very,
thank
very
you.
Good.
Same to you.
And hope you'll get no snow going over the mountains home to Palm Springs tonight to the
Sometimes there's snow in Julian, yeah. But hopefully I'll see what happens.
It's cold everywhere.
It's freezing.
Cold. All right, so Rose, I'm going to give you a little phrase that we hear all the time. And then because it's in your, it's like we hear this phrase all the time now, but I don't think anybody knows exactly what it means. So I want to talk about it with you. And then people can call 888-318-7884. Irregular unions. What are we talking about with irregular unions?
Well, when I hear the word irregular, I do think of back in the 90s when those legs pantyhose went on sale. You could get a big discount with slightly irregular pantyhose. And I remember I got a pair and there was only one leg.
That's slightly irregular.
No, you know what? And the word irregular was misleading because it was not irregular. It was wrong. It was not. They were not pantyhose.
No,
they were not pantyhose.
I don't know if you can say that on the air.
Well, it's too late now. But no, you know what? There was. It was something really, really, really wrong. And so that's what we're going to talk about today: is what is an irregular union in our Catholic language?
Yeah. Okay. Because I don't think. Clearly, the sexual revolution. All right, 1950s, 60s. It hit its. Hit its stride, connected to all kinds of things like the rise of mass media and the invention of the contraceptive pill and all that. But so we do end up that we're in a different place than we were for the, say, 500 years before that. So it does seem to me that part of what the church wants to do is not make everybody an outcast, but do you know what I mean? Not just constantly be standing in judgment over people.
So in other words, we don't want to use the word sinful, 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 even though it is sinful, because by its very nature, that closes the door to a lot of people's hearts and minds.
Yeah,
and we want to be aware of that without watering down the truth.
Okay. All right. So we have what's a regular union then? Maybe we should start there.
Okay.
Regular union.
That's okay. A regular union. And we're referring to people who are having sex in that union, in that relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be within the confines of a valid marriage bond.
Okay.
So one man, one woman, meeting all the standards that they both are of age and free will. They're freely coming there. They don't have any fear, force, or hidden agendas. They understand reasonably what marriage is going to bring, although, you know, we never know exactly.
No, right.
And that they're open to the gift of children. They will remain faithful to each other in every way. They're exclusive in their sexual relationship and their emotional life as well. And it's till death.
I just think so many young people, but just so many people alive on the earth today in this post-sexual revolution era just kind of roll their eyes at that. Like, that's it? That's where sex belongs?
Well, I know, because this is what's happened by watering everything down for 50, 60, 70 years.
Yeah.
And I'm old enough to have been there when this started happening, and it really upsets me because it made it real easy for me to go down that dark path myself. Because of the loosey-goosey water language in the church and water, not wanting to offend everybody. You know, what I just described, Cy, is what every human heart really wants. If you'll be honest, set those people down who are rolling their eyes and say, okay, just take a deep breath and relax. Would you love to be in a relationship where the person is always faithful to you, always, in every way, till death?
Yeah.
Don't you want that? Well, yeah, but it's not possible in today's world. Yes, it is.
It is possible in
today's
world.
And that's what we, the church, are here to say. It is possible.
Yep. All right. By the way, you want to get in on this conversation? We're talking about irregular unions today. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. All right. So irregular is it does mean a sinful relationship, but we're avoiding that kind of just hitting people in the head with the word sinful all the time.
Well, and remember, we know as Catholics, sinful means, in a certain sense, it missed the mark of what is good and true and beautiful and what we're made for. So irregular means one of those important elements is missing in the relationship. It's not marriage. It does not rise to the level of a free, full, faithful, fruitful, beautiful marital union.
But you said the word irregular itself, though, might be too mild. You think we might have, in using the word irregular union so much, in a certain sense, the church is in your view, and I'm not saying I don't share this view, I'm just trying to get your view, maybe going a little too easy on what these relationships are.
Yes, yes, yes. And I was thinking myself, what would be a proper word? And I started to think, you know, illegal, no, it's not illegal. Illicit, no, it's not illicit. And I, the word I came up with is improper. The relationship is not properly ordered to the greatest good of the human persons in that relationship. It's improper. And anything that is improper is offensive and painful and needs to be corrected, so that it can become proper. So that's what I'm going to start using the word when we're talking about these irregular unions. I'm going to say it's an improper union. Let's get it proper. That's what we're here in the church for. Let us help you get it proper.
Right. Okay. All right. So give us some examples of, I mean, that's the other thing about irregular unions. It's covering an awful lot of territory.
Okay. Well, okay. So it's people who are having sex outside marriage, who are living together or not living together, people who are baptized Catholics who remarried after a divorce outside the church, or even with no prior marriage, married outside the church.
Okay.
So it's anything that doesn't rise to that level of what we call proper marriage bond.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so in your view, and I do want to remind people again, you can call, you can ask your questions at 888-318-7884. We're talking about irregular unions now, and we just hear this word so much today from the Catholic Church. We gave a little explanation of why that might be the case, but your questions are welcome, especially perhaps you've got questions on how to regularize these relationships help others to move towards the insight that maybe their relationship should be regularized, that is, in by regularized, I mean made permanent, made fully faithful, and made fruitful, all of those things that are part of a regular union. 888-318-7884. But you always come prepared, Rose, so you have an acronym for us, and the acronym you have today has six letters to it, and it spells
Say it correctly. Come on. For crying out
the window.
All
right, it's six A words.
Assess, address, okay. Affirm, advise, ask, and accept.
Okay, so that's not an acronym. That's just
alliteration.
Alliteration. Yes, you have an alliterated list.
Okay.
Do you want to start with assess?
Okay, so this is when you see somebody maybe close to you who's in an irregular situation. What do you do? What do you do as a person who cares about them and loves them? Well, first of all, I think you have to assess, are you really being called to step in and take action or say something to these people? Like, what if it's your best girlfriend's nephew who came with his girlfriend over the holidays and they were sleeping together in that person's guest room? Is it your place to go tell them that they need to regularize their union? I would say no, but it would be wonderful if you could go have lunch with your friend and say, I'd like to talk about this, and maybe help equip your friend with some tips on how to address that. Because
okay.
I know at the holidays, and this happened to me, Si, well, I have people in my family who are living in sin. You can't say that because they'll get all huffy and never speak to you for 10 years. And sometimes that might be okay. No, I can't believe I just said that.
No.
But we have to know how to address it. So if you've assessed that, yes, I have to move in and say something, then I would, number two, I'd address it face to face. Because in a text or an email, there's so much that's misread, and they can't see how much you love them and care about them, and they can't see your face. So if you're going to sit your adult children down or your friend down or whoever it is and say, I really want to talk to you, then do it face-to-face.
Okay.
Number three, always start with the good. Affirm the good. I see that you're living with your girlfriend. She's beautiful. She's smart. And you guys go together. I see why you love her, and she loves you. But you're in an improper relationship. So now you move from affirm to advise, and I can't support that. I can't support that. So I'm now going to ask you, and this is a shortened version of this discussion, I'm going to ask you, here's my next A, if you disagree with me, allow me to disagree with you. And don't, you know, walk off in a huff and don't talk to me for 10 years.
Okay.
So I'm listening to you. You listen to me. It doesn't have to be the end of our relationship. I love you very much. But I cannot support it. And then accept the fact they may reject you for a long time.
Okay.
Accept the fact that the person you love, who you are calling to the carpet, will not like it, will be offended, and may cut you out of their life. Don't give up. It's not the end. Time and grace and God can do wonderful things. So just be prepared, though, and don't be so codependent and overly attached to their affection that you never say, I can't support this.
All right. So let me go through them again then. Assess.
Okay.
What your role is here.
Right.
Address them face to face.
Yeah.
Affirm.
The good.
There's good in this relationship. You should affirm it.
Yep.
Advise them.
Yep.
On
what love is.
Yeah. Okay. Ask them to remain open and understand what you have to say, and then accept what happens.
Right.
And that all together spells That's a good acronym. All right, we'll take a quick break. I know you got questions for Rose. We're talking about irregular unions. That's the vogue term. And even if there might be some gentle disagreement with whether that term is strong enough, I think both you and I agree, Rose. The world is in such a state. So for some people, this is new information. They didn't know that they were. Right. That's really true today. Some people don't even know that this is what they're supposed to do. So I think that there's something laudable in the church trying to approach these things gently without bashing people constantly over the head. But there's also the truth to be told.
And that's a delicate tension that we want to help people find.
888-318-7884 is the number. If you're a Catholic person and you'd like to talk about this, you're welcome. If you're not a Catholic person, if you agree, if you disagree, whatever, we just like having the conversation, and we'd love it if you'd participate. 888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
On Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Father Joseph and Doug Keck mind decades of phone calls answered by Mother Angelica. Mother dishes out teaching, advice, laughter, and plenty of prayers as she takes calls from her family.
Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Sunday afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is here. We're talking about irregular unions. Your calls are welcome. 888 318-784. The church's teaching hasn't changed, but she has certainly found new ways to express herself on this matter over the last 50, 60, 70 years, as you were saying, Rose. One of the ways is to talk about irregular unions rather than to just talk about sin and fornication, and because some of those words that
adultery,
it's not though that the church's teaching has changed. It is not, and so we got to help people come back to it. How can we do that? That's kind of what we're talking about today. Walt's in Pennsylvania, listening on EWTN. Walt, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
So I listened to Layla Miller. I think it's Layla Miller. Sorry. She wrote a book called Primal Loss about divorce and how it devastates children and how they, for last 50 years, have been children have been gaslighted that, oh, things will be okay, everything's fine now. And then you have all these people going to psychologists, et cetera, and nobody knows why they're so upset. Why is it that when somebody is going to the priest who's having a difficult marriage, they often just say, well, if somebody leaves or whatever, they just say, well, you know, you can get an annulment. You could try and get an annulment. Why don't they just, like, your kids need both of you. You need to work this out.
Right.
I think that's, like, something that's really not taught anymore. And it's very frustrating. I have nieces and nephews that have the wounds of divorce and remarriage nonsense. Go to a family gathering, both parents are there with their other spouses. It's absurd.
Right, okay, and you're right. We try to regularize and normalize that, and we're just putting frosting over a wound. I hear exactly what you're saying. Well, let's be careful though. Not every priest and not every Catholic counselor sends people off to the annulment tribunal. Not everybody does that. A lot of people say, "Let's get you counseling. Let's get you help. How can we come alongside you?" We don't hear about that a lot because it's a private matter.
Mm-hmm.
We usually hear about the bad stuff. Oh, he told me to go get an annulment right away. And so I agree with you. It is horrible for the kids. It's horrible for everybody. But I know a lot of good priests, a lot of good people in the church who are helping people to mend their marriages rather than push them toward divorce. So let's keep praying for that. That's a good point that you brought up.
Thanks, Walt. I would like to just give my own testimony on that. Missy and I got help from our parish in this regard, and it was actually quite helpful. When would that come up? I mean, if we had gotten a divorce or sought an annulment, you would have known about it. But nobody stands up in church and goes, here's the following couples that were helped by the parish this week.
Right. Because it is there's shame and there's embarrassment there with it, and there's pain, and we don't want to expose people. We don't want to expose that to everybody.
Let's go to Jessica in Ohio. Thanks, Walt, for the call. Jessica in Ohio, listening on iHeart Radio. Appreciate your call, Jessica. Hang on. I got a little phone problem here. Will you push 5 for me? Jessica, go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi. I'm recently returned home, and thank you for this show. It's been a wonderful wealth of information.
Yay.
Oh, wonderful.
So I know that I'm in an irregular union right now, and I'm working on getting a lack of form for myself.
Good.
And then I know that it's still an irregular union, but I had two questions on that. Should I be confessing that every time I go to confession?
Confessing what?
And
Jessica?
The fact that I'm remarried.
Okay, let's take this first question, and then I want to hear your second one. If you're civilly remarried and you know that it's not a valid union right now, but you're working on it, great, good, excellent, wonderful. That's God's grace in you. Go to your husband and say, until we have a valid marriage bond, we're going to live as brother and sister. So you do whatever it takes to sleep in a separate bed or bedroom or whatever it takes. Many good couples do this. And when they understand the great good that comes from it, it's no huge problem. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. So if you do that, you don't have to confess anything. If you find it difficult and you know that you should separate sexually until the annulment comes through, and you fall anyway. It's like you have to go back to confession, say, Lord, strengthen me again. I need more grace. I want to do it right. So yes, you do have to go every time. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, it does, and it relieves my heart because I already knew that in my heart and made that decision.
Good girl.
So I've
good girl.
Taken that step.
Good girl.
So my next question then is they always say to examine your state of grace and go to confession and then receive the Eucharist. But I know in my heart right now that even though I don't feel like I'm in a mortal state of grace, maybe I am and I just don't realize it, but I know in my heart right now that I still can't receive Eucharist. I was just wondering, do I have to wait all the way until our marriage is convalidated, or is there another avenue for me to be able to receive?
Okay, first of all, there's probably a lot of details to your relationship that we don't know and you don't want to really be sharing on the air, but I would go get a good, wise, and holy priest or a good, spiritual director to help you think these things out and talk them out. But you need to go to Mass every Sunday, right? God asks you. God tells you, I want
absolutely.
You here. Okay. You do not have to receive.
Absolutely.
You don't have to receive Holy Communion. You make a spiritual act of communion until, yes, your marriage is convalidated. Now, I'm going to ask you a special thing. Today is 2024. If this goes through, then there's no problem. But the time probably required is maybe a year or two. I don't even know. It could be shorter than that if it's lack of form, much shorter. In the big picture of your marriage, it's a short amount of time. So try to keep that perspective. Does that make sense?
It does. There is some other struggles in persuading him to get it convalidated, but yeah.
Okay, and that's very common. So what I'm going to do so we don't tie up the lines all day long is please reach out to me at rose@rosesuite.com and let me help you help him. I'd love to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Keep taking the high path, Jessica.
Jessica, thank you. What an inspiring call. It's wonderful to get a chance to talk with you. I hope we'll talk again, but do reach out to rose@rosesuite.com. Let's try to get another question in before we have to go to the break. Let's go to Jerry in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock. Glad you're here, Jerry. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Just a little louder, Jerry.
Not really. I'm sorry. Yes, thank you for taking my call. Not really a question, but more of a comment. We're talking about, the terminology of irregular unions and how the word irregular might be out of place. But I would ask you a comment about whether the word union really even belongs in there, because, isn't it really a true union when... people are living outside the will of God in that sense, or are they more, sort of isolated individuals who, maybe in close proximity to each other, but, I wonder whether even the word union is appropriate. That was really my only
Rose, what do you think?
Well, there's so many layers to that. That's a good point. It is not a true union, but it is a union of sexual union, legal union, family union, neighborhood union. I mean, when people come together, live together, and act as married, there are levels of union there. But you're right, it is not marriage, and it's not a true union. And we talk about this all the time. Words matter. And that's I think, what we're trying to do, find the proper word.
Yeah, right. But as you said, I mean, the church's teaching on marriage is so complex because marriage is a civil reality as well as a religious reality. It's also, in addition to being a religious reality for the Catholic person, it's a sacrament. And so all of those have their own claim to being a union.
Right.
And then there's the other element that even outside of marriage, sexual union is possible. You can make a baby. Right. That's pretty unitive if you make a baby.
Right, right,
so
right.
There's,
but it's not a good, it's, there's good from it, but there's not, there's a part that's not good. It's not a good union. It's not a true union.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's good that we parse these things out.
Jerry, are you satisfied with that answer?
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you very much. Hey, we got to take a quick break, but before we go, Catholic Answers is going on a cruise.
What?
Yeah, we're taking a cruise June 29th through July 6th.
Where?
Montreal, Quebec, Boston, Massachusetts. We'll end in Boston.
I've been on that one before. It's beautiful. Do we get a discount?
Oh, well, let me think about that, and we'll talk about it when we come back.
Okay.
Rose Sweet is our guest. There are lines open. I will get to the callers who are on. Don't worry. I'm going to get to you when we come back. We're talking about irregular unions. If you have questions, whether for yourself or for someone else or just in general, as Jerry's question was, 888-318-7884.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Are you scared to talk about abortion? Don't worry, almost everyone is. You can overcome this fear, as Trent Horn shows in the newly revised and expanded second edition of Persuasive Pro-Life. With a little knowledge and a few proven techniques, you can become a bold and effective apologist for life. Visit shop.catholic.com to order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life and never again be afraid to speak up. Also available at good Catholic bookstores.
On the next More to Life, team up.
Feel like your family is off its game? We'll help you and yours be a better team.
That's on the next More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Rose Sweet. We hear a lot these days about irregular union. So we're just talking about what does the church mean when it uses the phrase irregular union, and then also what can be done about irregular unions. It's not just a blanket, some kind of rejection at all. The church would love to help people regularize these unions into what we call, what's the word for the regular union? Oh, marriage. That's it. I thought of it myself. 888-318-7884 if you'd like to participate. If you got like to ask Rose a question, whatever, you're welcome here. 888-318-7884. Before we went to the break, I was telling you about the cruise we're going on.
And I asked about, is there such thing as a discount?
There was a discount up to January 6th.
But can't you extend it?
The thing is, yes, I can, Rose. Yes, I can.
Wow. Nice.
Yes, we'll call it I should call it the Rose. We did, like, if you use the promo code Rose Sweet.
Okay.
But
no.
I don't have that power.
I don't need to take the credit.
All right. So I'll tell you what. Use the promo code Pope Peter, the one that we had before. And anybody that signs up this month, we'll give them the discount.
It's a beautiful.
And I act like that's all spontaneous, but actually, Jen came in and told me, you know, you were wrong about that. It didn't end on January 6th. I don't know why I got it. She goes, it's for the whole month of January. I'm sorry, Jen.
Oh, good.
But I end up saying I'm sorry to people who know things around here so often.
Like, I wonder why that is.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that. My bad. She's like, where did you get January 6th? I swear in a meeting or something, somebody told me, say it's until January 6th.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm just so upset, Rose.
It's okay.
All right, if you want to come on the cruise with us, go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Use the promo code Pope Peter this month and get a discount on your ticket. CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Find out all about it there. Rose has been on this cruise before.
Well, can
I've been on it too, but I didn't go on the one you went on. Missy and I went on it 6 years ago, I think.
Well, here's what I love. First of all, it's relaxing. It's beautiful. The food is good. It's a good getaway. And then every day there's a Catholic event.
Yeah.
You're getting off the ship on the Not Days on Sea, and you're going to beautiful cathedrals and learning wonderful history, and you're hearing wonderful talks from the apologists. It's the best way to vacation.
You're so much better at this than I am.
Well,
sell it, Rose. Sell it.
No, I get nothing out of it.
Here, I'll just tell you what to say.
Hello, did you hear that part? I get nothing out of this.
Like everything you do here,
yeah,
you get nothing out of it.
Exactly.
Say this, CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
No, don't say it like I'm saying it. Just you say it.
Oh, CatholicAnswersCruise.com. I'll say it again. Go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
Use promo code Pope Peter.
Use promo code Pope Peter.
All right, back to the phones we go. Billy is right here in California listening on Catholic.com. Billy, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Just getting a lot of backlash from my Protestant brothers and sisters regarding the last decision on same-sex marriages. And, you know, I'm a recent convert. I, you know, studied my way into the church by God's grace, of course.
Praise God.
But, yeah, and thank God for that. So, I brought my marriage in this, or, you know, my marriage was convalidated this year and everything. And so we're good to go. We just were, you know, really blessed. So I have a couple friends, one in particular that just, continues to troll YouTube. He's a YouTube theologian, right? And we all got one of those guys, right? And they all just send a bunch of stuff. And so anyways, I'm trying to sift through all the stuff. And I'm like, you know, let's answer some important questions here. Show me one document that shows the definition of marriage has changed. It hasn't. Show me, you know, any proof that actual unions are being blessed, not necessarily couples. And everything else. And what I'm getting back is, okay, well, we can't show you that, but we can show you 1,500 bishops, essentially, that are coming out and speaking out against the Pope. And two things that I have, you know, come to love in my Catholic faith now are, one is our Blessed Mother, and two is our Pope. Now, I may not necessarily agree with everything, essentially, that he says, but in practicum, I'm going to follow as the skeletal body of Christ, in every way that I can, because Christ obviously established him as the vicar of Christ. So by going against him, essentially, unless he tells me to deny Christ, which of course he's not telling anybody to do that.
No, will he? Like, that's not possible.
And exactly. Yeah. So he is wanting people to come to the church, and by blessing them to allow them to come to the knowledge of Christ, so that, yes, number one, that they repent and that they, you know, find Christ, that they get baptized, that they are get into a blessed union, a blessed marriage for Christ, a man and a woman. So I guess my question is, and I'm sorry to say all that, I'm just kind of just painting the picture here, is because there's many of us who have Protestant brothers and sisters that are bringing all these things against us, you know, for, you know, like those bishops and everything else. What is your answer to these people that are saying, well, yeah, but you have 1,500 bishops that are, you know, against, you know, and everything else? What is it exactly that they are against, considering I can't find anything? Throw me a bone here. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm just curious, did you read what the, because if they're talking about 1,500 bishops, they're probably talking about the bishops of Africa. That's the most prominent.
Right. And then Germany and all right.
Did you read what because the African Bishops Conference put out or the head of the African Bishops Conference put out a letter. I'm just curious if you read it.
I have not read it, no, but I've heard about it and I need to.
Well, because it might help me. I'll just say three things about it and then Rose can give you her answer. But first, they say right in the letter that the Pope approved of their letter. So it's not, they're not in conflict with the Pope. The Pope approved of their letter. In their letter, they say, they talk about the cultural context of Africa and that they can't do this at this time. And then they close with a kind of reference to Pope Francis's own teaching that you can't one culture you can't impose something on a culture that's either not ready for it or that is not in a position to do that. And so all of it seemed very it said no to a certain act, but it was not divisive. It wasn't expressed in a divisive way. And people say, well, that's window dressing or whatever. No, it's not. Like when people say we got the Pope's permission, the Pope said okay to this, and this is what we're going to do, that's not just window dressing. That's how Catholic faith works. That's union with the Pope. So I might say to people, well, read what the bishop said, because they didn't say we're in rebellion against the Pope or something. They said, here's what we're going to do. We got the Pope to approve it. The Pope approved it. Rose, go ahead.
Well, I have exhaustion from this topic.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people do, Catholics and Protestants alike. And I'm going to take I like everything you said. I'm going to take another spin on this. In my work with coaching people in all kinds of relationships, I notice a thread that has just taken us all down. And it's the union of criticism and defense. Whenever we hear a criticism, we automatically knee-jerk go into defense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And a lot of times the person who has criticized us or maybe talked about the 1,500 bishops isn't really interested in hearing what we have to say at all. And we're spending a lot of time and energy.
Oh, defending ourselves.
Defending ourselves and to a shut door. And so what I've learned in relationships, I'm going to apply to this, is to don't defend and lean into that person and say, does that bother you that 1,500 bishops did this? Or does that bother you? Tell me why that bothers you. I would like to know more about what you think and
Rose,
what you feel. See how wise that is?
You are.
So
yeah.
You're not exhausting yourself in competing in the, but you are moving into them and saying, I see you, I hear you, and I want to know more and understand you. And then you're going to find something that you agree on and go, you know what? I agree. You and I are in agreement on that. So, and I don't have time because I got a dinner date or a golf date or whatever, but I'm going to tell you something. Go to CatholicAnswers.com. They have a wonderful article there on this. And if you do want to know about those bishops or know about Africa or whatever the topic is, this is what I love about Catholic Answers. I don't have to do the work. You guys have done so much work for all of us, and it's true, and it's faithful, and it's clear. And so lean into the other person, ask them the questions, find what you can agree on, and then send it to Catholic Answers.
Billy, what do you think?
Awesome. Sounds great. I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for the call, and welcome home, brother.
Yeah, that's nice. Nice, Billy.
Absolutely. Yes. No, thank you. Praise God. Thank you, guys.
That will actually bring us right to the break, so we'll take a break. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City. And you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Human beings are God's greatest masterpiece. Every person is made in the image and likeness of God. But every saint, that is, every person who accepts God's invitation, his upward call to make them holy. And so every story presents us with a unique masterpiece that God is writing.
The Journey Home, Monday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Hey, second hour, Joe Heschmeyer will be here, but I'm sure it'll be a good show. So join us second hour. We'll do open forum with Joe Heschmeyer. This hour, Rose Sweet is here. And Rose does, she already gave out the website and I gave it out, but I'll give it out again, rosesweet.com. And Rose has been, for years and years, been helping people with divorce, remarriage, annulments, all of that, including you made a video series. Didn't you do a video thing for EWTN? Or?
Yes, I've done a lot of that stuff. But basically, thank you for bringing it up. I love to help people in irregular relationships and irregular relationship problems. We can get it right, and I want to help people get it right.
So if you have questions about our topic today, which is this phrase, irregular unions, that the church now uses, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. We will go now to Tom in Omaha, Nebraska. And like almost everybody listening in Nebraska, he's listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Glad you're here, Tom. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Okay, here's my question. If a lesbian marries a man and doesn't tell him that she's a lesbian, is that grounds for invalidation of the marriage?
Maybe and maybe not. This is a complex issue. It depends on the woman. If she has a same-sex attraction that she struggles with and carries a lot of shame and is trying to live a good married life, that may not prevent her from being able to enter into marriage. She has a struggle, but it may not be an impediment. It depends on how long it's been, how deep it is, how great the deception was. But even then, and here's the power of God's grace, even in this marriage where it all comes out that she lied and she didn't tell him and he's shocked and he's angry, if they really wanted to, with God's grace, they could work through that and still come out stronger in the end. That's why it's so dangerous to just say, yes, these are grounds, yes, you should get a divorce, or no, this or that. Every case is different and unique because we're unique. Does that answer what you had in mind?
Well, yes and no. If the man wants to, he's not happy with her. You know, she's not responding in a feminine way and so on. Isn't it likely he could get an annulment?
I don't know, because that by itself, a woman who is not responsive sexually in a marriage is not grounds for marriage, but it may indicate some other grounds or lead to some other grounds. It's certainly a problem and a struggle. Certainly is difficult. But it doesn't mean it's grounds for annulment. He needs to go deeper into this, learn about it, get a good spiritual director or counselor, and work to see if they can come up with some kind of loving relationship that works for them.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. Look at that. All lines have filled up all of a sudden. Let's go to Steve in Northern Kentucky, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Steve, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Rose, I heard you say something just in one of the last prior calls, and I think it was in reference to the irregular blessings of unions that the document that the Pope put out. And I know you said you're getting tired of it, and I understand that. But I think the reason why people and people can't get tired of it, of answering that question, because the priests in the diocese of the United States, from my experience, are not addressing this head on the pulpit. They are not explaining that this is a wrong decision. It is not, most theologians are saying this is not correct. And I want to know why parish priests are not saying this here is the moral clarity, as opposed to playing politics and saying, well, I'm tired of talking about this. The reason why we're talking about it is because people are not providing clear, orthodox Catholic teaching. And Rose, we have to be a little more firm. And I think not so much so nice and walking on eggshells. Here is what is Catholic teaching. So does that make sense?
It doesn't entirely make sense to me, Steve, and I'll say why. Is it the role of a parish priest to correct the Pope?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely, because what happens if you border on heresy, I would say you do it within charitable ways. Of course, the Pope is only 100% right in infallibility statements. On prudential statements, which this was above of what I call prudential statement, yes. Now, you have to do it tactful because you'll be taken out like Strickland or Burke or all the other ones that have been taken out. Yes. Absolutely, they do. Now, maybe that's not done on the pulpit. Maybe that's done in some kind of a session after hours with the laity. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Rose.
Well, Steve, oh, you're right. We don't need to be more firm or harsh, and we don't need to be more soft. It is, and I said this earlier, it's a delicate tension to be both loving and pastoral, but also clear and firm on the truth. And I don't even need to mention the name of the list, this pope, the last pope, the future pope. We have the teachings of Jesus Christ through his church that are thousands of years old, and we can teach that. First, we live it, and we teach it loud and clear. And if your priest or priests are not teaching this clearly from the pulpit, then you get on your knees with me and so many others, and you pray for our priests. They are under a lot of attack. I'm not excusing anything, but they need our prayers because, yes, they do need to be clear, good leaders of the people. So pray for them. Pray for them.
The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest is Rose Sweet. We're talking about irregular unions. The church uses that phrase now, but exactly what is it talking about? When it talks about irregular unions, Rose has been describing that for us, and part of the logic clearly is that the world is not living by the same sexual ethic that it lived by, say, 100 years ago, and so the church has to adapt her language to try to be heard clearly. What she has not done is changed her fundamental teachings on human sexuality. So how do we deal with irregular unions? And how do we move forward? And let's go to Patty. I don't have a location for you, Patty, but we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Thank you. I'm in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Oh, I love Bismarck, North Dakota.
Rose, would you please give the six A's again? I pulled over to try to take notes. I'm very thankful for your lecture, and I'd like to get them all down.
Okay, very quickly, assess if you're really being called to get in the middle of this situation with the person with the irregular relationship. Number two, address it face-to-face with them, not just email or text if you can. Number three, always affirm the good in them, okay. The good in the other person, and your love for them. Number four, advise them that love is not acceptance of sin. This is what you believe, and you have to stand strong. Ask them to be as open and receptive and understanding of your position as you are of theirs, and then accept that they may reject you for a long time and be at peace with that and trust God to help reconciliation come in the future.
Thank you. It's a very excellent lecture.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, Rose is pretty good, Patty. I was in Bismarck in December. That's why I said I love Bismarck, especially in the winter.
And I wish I could have been there, but I'm commuting between North Dakota and Minnesota. So
holy smokes!
Wow!
All the way over to Bismarck too. All right. Well, Patty, thanks for the call. What radio station do you listen on when you're? Because I assume you do it while you're making that commute.
Let me see. North Dakota and Minnesota. So. I'm really sorry. I can't see the numbers.
Oh, that's okay. No, that's fine. Pay attention to the road. It's snowing, Patty. We don't need a fatality. Okay. We'll move on. Thanks, Patty. I didn't mean to make you do that.
Wait, that's material cooperation in somebody's death.
I know.
Okay. But
Patty, back to the pay attention to the road. Marissa is in Illinois listening on WTTT radio. Awful glad you're here. Marissa, go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi, Marissa.
My husband and I. Hi, how are you?
Good.
My husband and I are in a loving relationship, a loving marriage. We have been for 8 years now. My non-Catholic marriage has been pardoned by the church, as is this civil union. My husband is Lutheran. He has no interest in becoming Catholic. His annulment has been suspended because the witnesses that he provided have failed to respond to our repeated pleas for information and assistance. At this point, I feel like my local parish is not that concerned with my situation and hasn't provided a lot of guidance on next steps. So I'm wondering if it would be beneficial to receive the help of an attorney with this. I don't think anyone will contest his annulment.
Marissa, honey, hang on there. You called the right number. Help is here. Thank you for doing the right thing and wanting to take the high road to get all of God's blessings and grace. This is very common at the parish. People are not trained or equipped to deal with the annulment situations and don't know what to do, so they just kind of ignore it sometimes. They don't mean to. This is what keeps me in business, sadly, is people who can't get the help that they need locally will reach out to me. I wrote a book on annulments. I've been through it myself. I will help you and your husband get this back on track in any way that I can. So please email me, rose@rosesuite.com, and we will go from there, and I will take good care of both of you.
Marissa, will you be able to do that?
Yes, absolutely. I already wrote down your email address. Thank you so much.
Good girl. Hang in there.
But I want to follow up on what Marissa said. Do couples sometimes employ canon lawyers to help them with these?
Yes, they do. But here's this. Anybody can help. Anybody over the age of 18 can be your advocate.
Okay.
You can get any kind of outside help that you need. And a lot of people do call canon lawyers, but sometimes they can be very expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Depending on how complex the case is.
But I have to say, you hear horror stories. Is 8 years just extraordinary? Like, that sounds horrific to me.
That's ridiculous. Something is really wrong there. It's ridiculous. Somebody hasn't done their job from day one. So, yeah. And
yeah.
That's not normal. That's very irregular.
Yeah, that's an irregular response.
Exactly.
Because the church doesn't owe you a particular answer, but it does, in justice, owe you an answer.
Yes.
As to whether you're...
But most people don't realize that they have rights under canon law. They're afraid to ask. They send in their paperwork, and then they wait. They don't think they have any authority. They don't, you know, some people are the opposite. They're calling the tribunal every day, you know.
Right, right.
But we need... This is what I love to do, is help people understand. The church does want to help you, but you got people who have, like, 8-to-5 jobs that are overwhelmed like everybody else in the world is, and unless you speak up sometimes, you're not going to get the help you need. And she called in today asking for help, and she's going to get it.
Okay. Marissa, I'm glad that you are going to get that help, because it seems injustice that it does seem that at a certain point it becomes an injustice against the petitioner to let it go that long. Rose, we're talking about irregular unions. I mean, that's one kind of irregular union that can be regularized. In many of these situations, there's almost sometimes a shocking experience of the church's teaching on sex and sexuality does require something from me, and everybody has to get to there at some point. When people kind of mock the church as repressed or something, that's silly, but it's not off base to say that the church does ask a great deal of people as far as sex and sexuality.
Yes, but let's simplify this. Let's just say, give me a $20 bill out of you owe me $20. I want $20 right now. Can you just give it to me? You're going to go, well, why? Rose is making demands on me, right?
Yeah.
What if I said instead, here is a box full of your favorite donuts? You know, or something.
I got 40 bucks.
The minute you see something you want, you're willing to pay the price.
I gotcha.
We have to give the vision of a beautiful marriage to people and say, this is what you want. This is what you were made for. This is what God wants for you. We want to help you get it. And they'll go, okay, then I'll live up to these demands.
Man, I get why
right?
we have Rose Sweet on so
right?
much. It's an excellent decision, Derek.
Donuts, baby.
Well, when you use donuts as an example,
see?
All of a sudden... Everything clicks
I'm
for me.
I'm telling you.
Everything. Rose, thank you very much.
Thank you.
RoseSuite.com is where you can go and find out more about what Rose does. Coming up next, Joe Heschmeyer, and it'll be open forum. So if you're online, you can wait and just ask Joe your question. Or if you haven't called yet, pick up the phone and dial 888-318-7884.